Here to worship you and to truly adore your wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. We praise and thank you for the marvelous gift of salvation given to us at such an infinite cost to you, our God. As we worship here today, may the words of Scripture, the wonderful old story of Jesus' birth, your gift of love, inspire us, warm our hearts and draw us closer to you, and bring us into total submission to your will, so we may be of greater service to you. Father, planet Earth longs and groans for Jesus to come a second time and to end Satan's reign of sin, sorrow, death, and destruction. The trouble we see and hear of around us and throughout the whole world is truly appalling. We long for Jesus' return, but until then, we think about and pray for those who are in leadership positions in our church, in our nation, and in all the nations of this world. May the Holy Spirit guide and direct in all these affairs until your gospel work is finished. Father, we ask your blessing on each person bowed here before you today. You know the weaknesses, the needs, the desires, and the concerns of each one, be they physical, mental, or spiritual. Please meet these needs according to your wisdom, mercy, and love. Father, we think of and especially pray for Candy and Lichelle. We ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will minister to them and will cause them to know, dear Father, that your presence is always there, and Father, may they have your peace. May they have that assurance, dear Father, that you are their friend and that they can depend upon you for whatever their needs are. Father, may the wonderful birth of Jesus send us forth from here inspired, strengthened, and blessed. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our blessed Savior and friend.
Isaiah 9:2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shined. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:7 says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. strife and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to
month, the angel Gabriel was sent forth from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill with haste unto a city of Judah. and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt within her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from thenceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy had come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, that was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judah, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you. bells, ring the bells, let the whole world know. Christ was born in Bethlehem many years ago. Born to die that man might live, came to earth new life to give. Born of Mary, born so low, many years ago. God the Father gave his Son, gave his own beloved one, to this wicked, sinful earth, to bring mankind his love new birth. Ring the bells, let the whole world know. Christ was born in Bethlehem many years ago. God the Father gave his Son, gave his own beloved one, to this wicked, sinful earth, to bring mankind his love new birth. Ring the bells, oh, ring the bells, let the whole world know. Christ the Savior lives today, as he did so long ago.
Dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. Christ was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, new kings born today, and men will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, they saw a bright new shining star, and heard a choir from heaven sing. The music came from afar. Hark now, hear the angels sing, new kings born today, and men will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Now Joseph and his wife Mary came to Bethlehem that night. They found no place to bear her child. Not a single room was inside. By and by, they found a little nook in a stable forlorn. And in that stable, cold and dark, Mary's boy child was born. Trumpets sound and angels sing. Listen to what they say. That man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Trumpets sound and angels sing. Listen to what they say. That man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Amen. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afeared. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Have you heard the sound of the angel voices ringing out so sweetly, ringing out so clear?
Have you seen the star shining out so brightly as a sign from God that Christ the Lord is here?
Have you heard the news that they bring from heaven to the humble shepherds who have waited long?
Glory, in excelsis Deo! Glory, in excelsis Deo! Hear the angels sing their joyful song. He's come in peace in the winter stillness, like a gentle snowfall in the gentle night. He has come in joy, like the sun at morning, filling all the world with radiance and with light. He has come in love as a child of Mary, simple stable, we have seen his birth. Glory, in excelsis Deo! Glory, in excelsis Deo! Hear the angels singing, peace on earth. He will bring new light to a world in darkness, like a bright star shining
in the skies above. He will bring Savior's coming. Let the heavens answer with a joyful morn.
With a joyful morn.
Glory, glory in excelsis Deo. Glory, glory in excelsis Deo. Hear the angels singing, Christ is born. Hear the angels singing, Christ is born. Angels, we have heard on high, singing sweetly through the night, and the mountains in reply, echoing their brave delight. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why these songs of happy cheer? What great brightness did you see? What glad tidings did you hear? A star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry. On the star brings its far, while the beautiful sing for the venture of Bethlehem. Cradles a king. There's a tumult of joy o'er the wonderful birth, for the virgin sweet boy is the Lord of the earth. Why the star rains its fire, while the beautiful sing for the manger of Bethlehem, cradles a king. We rejoice in the light, and we echo the song that comes down through the night from the heavenly throng. I wish out to the lovely evangel they bring, and we greet in his cradle our Savior and King.
that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's a gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babel sounds the blessed angels sing.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Thank you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let me say to you good morning and happy Sabbath, and also Merry Christmas. I want to thank everyone who's been a part of the program with the gifts that they've used to praise the Lord with. You know, when we think of Christmas, I think for most of us, the images that pop into our heads are the images of Joseph and Mary. traveling to Bethlehem and Jesus being born in what probably was a little animal stall or a barn somewhere, and them laying baby Jesus in a manger or a feeding trough. To most people, this is where it begins, the Christmas story. But I'd like to say to you that this is not where Christmas began. I'd like to ask you just for a few minutes, if you would, to think of the Christmas story as having another beginning. And it really goes back to the Garden of Eden. Because you see, it was at the Garden of Eden where Christmas became necessary. It was at the Garden of Eden where everything, all the circumstances happened that caused Christmas to have to happen. You know, in the first book of the Bible, the very first verse, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The Bible tells us this story. It tells us that when God created this world, He made it perfect. When God created this world, He gave our first parents everything they could possibly have dreamed for, everything they could have possibly hoped for. Imagine creating a world that was beautiful. Imagine creating a world that provided everything that you would need to exist, food and water. Oh yes, and God was so awesome and so wonderful that He made the food not have to be delivered from some other place. He just made the food just pop up right out of the ground. God created this world, and in that first chapter it says when He was done, when God looked at everything that He did, He looked at it and the Bible says that He says it is very good. Well, everything was very good, everything was very beautiful until. I just want to read to you from Genesis chapter 3, a few verses from that chapter. Tells us a little bit about the story. It says, "Now the serpent," this is verse 1, Genesis 3. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" You see, what the devil succeeded in is in tricking our first parents, Adam and Eve, into thinking that God was holding something back from them. He had convinced them somehow that God was not telling them the full truth. In other words, that God had told them a lie. He told her that God was really keeping you from enjoying life. He somehow got her to believe that she could not be fully happy if she continued to live according to the laws of God. That somehow that God's way was keeping her from being happy. The Bible says that our first parents rebelled. They chose to believe the lie of the devil instead of the truth of God. Adam and Eve rebelled against the authority of God, and as a result, they could no longer enjoy the blessings of what God had previously given them. One of the things He had given them was the special garden we know as the Garden of Eden, which was on top of all the beauty of the earth, was more beautiful than any other place on this planet. And because of that, and because that place had a tree known as the Tree of Life, God had to expel them from the garden so that they would not eat of the Tree of Life and then become immortal sinners. But you see, being kicked out of the Garden of Eden was nothing compared to the penalty, the real penalty that they had to pay. Because the Bible tells us, we read about this in Romans, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Rebellion against the authority of God, whether you like it or not, leads to death. The consequence of turning your back on God is to die. Now, it would have been an easy thing for God to have carried out that sentence. Oh, how much trouble He would have spared Himself. Adam and Eve knew what the consequences were. Adam and Eve knew that what they were doing was wrong. They knew what the penalty was, yet they chose to rebel. God was perfectly within His rights to wipe them out and erase them from memory. But there was one problem. God loved Adam and Eve. The reason he created them was because he loved them. The reason that he placed them, especially in the Garden of Eden, was because he loved them. The reason that he could not destroy them was because he loved them. So instead of destroying them, God provided a solution. A solution that would still prove God to be just, but that would also save the life of those people that he loved so very much. And we read a little bit about this in Genesis 3, verse 14, when God is talking to the serpent. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Instead of destroying Adam and Eve, God chose to come up with a different solution. And we find the promise here in Genesis 3, 14 and 15. That solution was Jesus. It was Jesus Christ, God's Son. He would come to this earth and pay the penalty for Adam and Eve. Jesus not only paid the penalty for Adam and Eve, but he came to pay the penalty for all of the offspring of Adam and Eve that they would ever have throughout all the ages of time. That includes you and I today. Jesus came to this earth to execute his mission. He would let the enemy kill him so that you and I can have the opportunity to be free from the penalty of sin. What we see in Bethlehem, in that dark, dirty, smelly animal stall, is the beginning of a divine rescue mission, a divine suicide mission. Jesus, the creator of the universe, the Almighty God, he traded his divinity for humanity, and all because of his intense love for you. Jesus could not bear to spend eternity without you. I'd like to ask you to consider just for a moment. You know, we talk about Christmas and I think, you know, we need to take these opportunities when people's minds are focused on God. There are some people who only go to church on Christmas and Easter. To ask you to just ponder this point for a moment, and that is this: why did Jesus come as a baby? If you have an understanding of the plan of salvation, we know that in order to pay the penalty for sin, someone has to die. So if you sin, you pay with your life. Jesus came to pay the penalty for every human being that ever lived. But that condition doesn't require that you come as a baby. Jesus could have come as a full-grown man and appeared before the high priest. He could have come in the clouds of glory with thousands and thousands of angels attending him to show who he was, and appeared before the high priest and said, "I'm here to die in the place of that lamb so that we can really deal with sin for humanity. But Jesus did not do that. Why did he come as a baby? And why did he come under such really dire, such a poverty? The situation was just so bad. He was born in a stall, put in a feeding trough. I'd like to share a couple of Bible texts with you. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. This chapter describes, it's prophetic, it describes Christ, but it says something here in Isaiah 53, verse 3 that I find interesting. Talking about Jesus, it says, "He is despised and rejected by men." How many people today reject Jesus? "A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." The Bible says that Jesus was acquainted with grief. To what purpose? For what end? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and verse 16 say something very interesting. And the writer says this in Hebrews 4, verse 15. He says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." Now, that's what I would call using a double negative. We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize. If we simplify it, he's basically saying, we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. And then it says, "But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." One of the reasons Jesus came as a baby was so that he can show you that, yes, you can live above the sin around you if we follow Jesus' example. But verse 16 adds something just beautiful. It says this, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Those two verses together tell us this, is that Jesus understands what it is that your heart is aching over today. These verses tell us whatever you may be experiencing, Jesus understands. So you can come and not be timid and say, "Well, I don't think God understands. I don't think I can talk. I can't talk to anyone about this. No one knows what I'm feeling." Well, today I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ knows what you're feeling. And you can come boldly, boldly before God and say, "Lord, this is what's on my heart." And God can respond to you. He can say, "I understand what you're feeling. And you know what? Jesus went through the same thing. But you know what? You can be a conqueror if you follow Christ's example." I guess one way of saying it would be that Jesus earned the right to be your counselor and guide. And he didn't need to. So I ask you, as you consider this holiday season and you show your appreciation to one another, remember the sacrifice and the real gift that Jesus gave. Jesus gave himself to you. He experienced life as we know it so that you can experience life as he knows it.
Amen.
God bless you.
Good Christians, now rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Mark the mass before him now, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christians, now rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened the heavenly door, and we are blessed evermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this.
Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'As you, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship.' When they had heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which had been seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh.
To close our worship today, let us contemplate the these words by the Apostle Paul, as found in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not something to be held on to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thus ends the reading of Scripture. Incarnate God, sublimest thought, this holy thing which God hath wrought, gifts of praise with mystery fraught, this priceless child the Spirit brought. Oh, that we midst joy and mirth might pause to ponder, sense the worth of what was sent from heaven to earth, a son, a sign, a virgin's birth. To thee, O Christ, sweet anthems raise, and we would join them in their praise, till all the world has turned its gaze upon the object of our lays. Come, take our hearts and in them dwell, cast o'er our lives thy wondrous spell. Bring love and peace to this Noel, be God with us, Emmanuel. Let us pray. Our wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank and praise you for your unspeakable gift. Fill us with your love and joy and peace. May Christ be truly born again in our hearts. May his love radiate from us to a world in need. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal decree. But of lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in greatest humility. Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. The foxes found rest and the birds their nest in the shade of the forest tree. But thy couch was the sod, O thou Son of God, in the deserts of Galilee. Come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with a living word that should set thy people free. But with mocking scorn and with crown of thorn, they bore thee to Calvary. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. When the heavens shall ring and the angels sing at thy coming to victory,
Father, we thank you for the tremendous gift that you've granted to us, for a time where we can remember that you came for the sole purpose of saving us. You had nothing to gain and everything to lose. You chose, Lord, because of your love for us. Help us not to let that be for granted in each and every one of our situations. I pray these things in the precious name of your wonderful Son, Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel.